point that Jesus was making in this parable. Let me read one again. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So, is there ever a time when we should lose heart? Is there ever a time when we should faint? And the answer to that is no. And there's a reason the answer is no. And Jesus began in this parable to make it plain to us why the answer is no. Verse 2, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Don't that remind you of some folks in this country today? Some in high places. They have no fear of God and no respect for mankind. It's all about themselves. So he said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. Now, when you think of a widow in most cases, you know, by virtue of the fact that she's called a widow, means that her husband has deceased, has died. And so she is a widow. And in the parable, Jesus does not mention anything about anyone else assisting her. He says, in this city there was a widow. And usually when you think of widows, you think of ladies that are alone. Sometimes their children are gone and they just themselves. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, this is the unjust judge, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. You know, sometimes folks try to take advantage of widows. They're perceived many times as weak. Having no help. Evidently, it was the case with this woman. I don't know. But verse 4 says, he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself. And now this is what he said within himself. He says, I don't fear God. I don't have any respect for God. He might have even considered himself an atheist, but either way, he didn't fear God. You know anybody like that? That don't fear God? So he said, he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man. I have no respect for man. In other words, he felt like he was in a good place. Sometimes you can have all the money you need, you can have all the material possessions you need. You can be in a place of high authority where folks got to look up to you. And so you can get to a place where you feel like, hey, I am all that and a bag of chips. You can get that way. You can get to that place. And there are people like that even as I speak. They feel like they have arrived, so they don't need God and they don't need man. So he said, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. In other words, I don't respect this woman. I don't love this woman. I just want to be rid of her. She's a nuisance. Every time I turn around, here she is. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. So I got to get this woman off my back. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what the unjust judge said. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, I'm going to stop right in the middle of verse 8. We will finish that. What is God trying to tell me? What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me right now? What is he trying to tell us right now? Right in the middle of injustice, right in the middle of wickedness and perversion and all the whole nine yards, so to speak, right in the middle of it, God is telling us, I am still God. And if you will continue to pray and intercede and get in the devil's face with your words. I'm talking about the word of God. And if you won't back down, if you don't quit, you will see your prayers answered. And you will see things turn around. This woman was practically helpless. She was a widow. Little widow. But she was persistent. She was persistent. And if we will be persistent we'll see some things change. If you be persistent, you'll see some things change. And now this takes me right on in now into my message by asking this question. Verse 8 again. Put verse 8 back up on the screen for me, please. Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's God. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Let me see, I think it's verse 8, the New Living Translation. Put that up there for me. I think that's where I want to go. Verse 8, New Living Translation. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? How many will he find on earth who are persistent? How many will he find that will take a stand and refuse to move? You're still here. This stuff going on right now, it can weary you. If you let it. But you got to be willing to take a stand of faith and say, I'm a child of God. I believe the word of God, and upon the word of God I stand. And I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear, but I am moved by what I believe, and I believe the word of God. I trust in the faithfulness of God. God is coming through for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So don't cry, don't weep, don't throw in the towel. Please don't backslide. Keep moving forward. The best really is yet to come. Give the Lord praise, will you? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. We honor him. We reverence him. And we yield to him. I yield to him, Father. I want him to speak through me. Use me for your glory today. Thank you, Lord. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So now, again, I ask the question. When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find his people standing strong, or will he find them hiding somewhere? You know, I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord. Anybody feel the same way I do? Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord. But I'm not looking for him to come because I'm afraid, because I'm full of fear. And some folks are like that, oh, Lord Jesus, come back, because I don't know if I can hang on much longer. Oh, yes, you can. And you can do more than hang on. God's called us to be victorious in every area of our life. Hallelujah. We can't control what other people do, but we can control what we do. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So in my last day's instructions, we've been ministering on this for 2 or 3 weeks. We've been talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. We've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about the rapture of the church. You won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it means to be caught away. It means to be caught away. And so there's coming a day, and I believe it's very, very soon. I do. I believe it's very, very soon that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be called away. Will be called away. Hallelujah. But there are some things that we need to be doing in the meantime. And the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there near the end of the chapter, he said, first of all, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Jesus himself said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Say that again. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lie is not going to make you free. A lie is not going to set you free, but the truth will set you free. Amen? We talked about the fact that the Bible says in 1 and 2 Timothy that in the last days, some are going to depart from the faith. And you hear me talk about this a lot, folks, and it is happening. There are folks that still proclaim to be Christians, but they don't believe what they used to believe. Some don't believe in the virgin birth. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born of a virgin. Just because they can't wrap it around their brain, they can't receive it. Something we need to go ahead and settle right now. You're not going to understand everything there is about God. There's a song that used to sing, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, maybe in the by and by, we'll know more. I don't know how much we'll know in the by and by, but I know we won't be restricted in any way. But my point is, that's where faith come in. That's where faith come in. If God said it, then I receive it and I accept it. And I walk according to what he said. But just because I can't dissect it and try to figure everything out, that's not faith anyway. The just shall live by faith. Glory be to God. So we got to stay with what God said. Yes, Jesus was born of a virgin. Yes, he did die on the cross. Yes, he was buried. He did rise again on the third day. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. Glory to God. Now, you got some folks today trying to look for other alternatives, trying to, and I'm talking about some preachers too. Some preachers. There are some preachers that no longer believe in hell. You know, it's bad enough to go to hell knowing you're going because you won't straighten up, you won't get saved, won't live for God. And some folks are bold enough to say, yes, I'm going to hell. I know I'm going. Oh, yeah, some folks will tell you. And they right, they going. Unless they get saved. And that's bad. But you know what's even worse? Going to hell thinking you're not. Because you believe a lie. And you can tell that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord because you see in this stuff, I mean, you folks that you thought were stable, you thought they were grounded, and you come to find out they're not too grounded after all. And the Bible warns us against this sort of thing. And so the Apostle Paul said, remain steadfast, 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 stay grounded. And then he went on to say, be immovable or unmovable. Hallelujah. And then the third thing we talked about was always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to stay busy, folks. You hear me? And this is what we talked about last week, I believe. We got to stay busy. We got to stay busy. We always must be abounding in the work of the Lord. The devil's looking for lazy Christians. Hallelujah. We talked about the fact that we need to excel in the things of God when it comes to the work of God. Now, I want to, in 1 Thessalonians, let's go back there. 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, I'll begin at the fourth chapter. I'll start at fourth chapter. And you, I know you're very familiar with these verses, or many of you are, I should say. Verse 13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's those that have died, okay? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, I need to stop right there just for a moment. And I know to many of you, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. You already know this. And you're very, very clear on this. But believe it or not, some people are not. Some people wonder, how can a believer that dies be in heaven with the Lord, and yet the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first? See, there are some people that just believe that their loved ones have died and they're just in the grave, waiting to be resurrected. That's not the case. The Apostle Paul himself said to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. But notice, is absent from the body. So, and most of you know this, but when we die, our bodies go back to the earth. But you have to understand how the makeup of mankind. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit, soul, and body. So that when we die, our spirit and our soul separates from our body. Our body goes back to the earth. Our spirit and our soul go to be with the Lord. And so when you see here where it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he goes on to say, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. I'm going to stop right there at verse 17 for a moment. So it says we will always be with the Lord. So what's going to happen when Jesus returns to catch away his saints, those that's already with him right now that have died? We have, I'm sure we all have loved ones that's with him right now. They are very much alive. They are real. They are doing fine. If they're with Jesus, they are doing fine, and they don't want to come back here. They love you. I'm sure they do. Well, I know they do. They love you. They love you. They love you. But they're not coming back here. And I've heard people say, oh, yes, I saw mama the other night, or I saw daddy, or I saw my husband. My question is, did they die? And if your response is, yes, they died. They with the Lord or wherever, where you didn't see your mama or your daddy. Don't tell me I didn't see mama. I know I saw mama. I was looking right at you. That weren't your mama. I'm not trying to be funny. This is very serious business. Because you have to understand that the devil is a deceiver. You listening to me? The devil is a deceiver. He wants to deceive you. If the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, then either you are in the earth or you are with the Lord. You want one or the other, right? Am I right? You one or the other. And I'm here to tell you, if your loved one is with the Lord, they ain't coming back here until they come back with Jesus. They don't want to come back into this mess. I mean, they in heaven. They in a perfect, there's perfection there. Why do they want to come back here? Well, they want to come back and see me, see how I'm doing. That's not their responsibility. We're told to call on the Lord. When I kneel to pray, or however I pray, I don't call on my mama. She's with the Lord. I don't call on mama. I don't call on daddy. Now, I know some of you saying, well, Pastor, that's elementary. We know all that. Of course you do, but would you believe some folk don't? You hear people say all the time, yeah, and I know they watching me. Are they? My opinion is I don't think so. Tell you what they do want. They want you to come where they are. You hear me? They want you to come where they are. Glory to God. Because we should never take our focus off of God and put it on a deceased loved one. We don't worship our deceased loved one. We worship God. Can I get an amen on that? We love our deceased loved one, but we don't look to them for help. We look to who?
God.
Now let's get back to the folks that thought they saw their loved one. That was just a deceiving spirit sent by the devil to deceive you. Even the rich man tried to talk Abraham into sending Lazarus or someone to warn his family not to come to hell. What did Abraham tell him? Nope. They got the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. What do we have? We got the preachers. We got the ministers of God. We got the teachers of God that's teaching the word of God. We're supposed to hear them, hear the word of God. You still here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's move on. Verse 18 says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. We will see our loved ones when they come back with Jesus. Unless we go before he comes back. Then we'll see them when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? But I want to go over a few things for just a few minutes. That's very important in these last days. And we find this in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, after he spoke about the catching away of the saints, and then he went on to say, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now to the Thessalonian church, he says some other things. He said, be sober. Watch and be sober. That's where you find that in verse 6. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be alert. Be alert. Watch. Matter of fact, the Bible tells watch and pray, don't it? Understand the days and the times that we're living in. And I just read this in verse 18, but of chapter 4, but he goes on to say, not only are we to watch and be sober, in other words, stay alert. Know what's going on. Stay in the Word of God. Comfort believers. Comfort the believers. See, there are some believers that feel hopeless. That's the reason he tells us in fourth chapter not to be ignorant concerning those that have fallen asleep. Because some folks think, oh, I've lost my loved one and there's just no hope. By the way, let me explain something to you before I move forward. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to say this anyway. The Apostle Paul had to write this letter to the Thessalonian church because of false preachers, false prophets that was preaching and prophesying false things. One of the things that they were telling them was that the rapture happened already. Think about that for a moment. Somebody told you, oh, Jesus came back last night and he caught away the saints and we were left. I think that would upset you, unless you knew the truth. Now, there have been many times that folks have prophesied. How many of you remember the book? I'm trying to remember the title of it, Jesus Returning by 1988. Now, you have to, what's the title? Yeah, 88 Reasons That Jesus Will Return by 1988. How many of you know it's 2022? But that was a book. I think I got the book somewhere if I didn't throw it away. But I had the book because I wanted to know what the 88 reasons were. I don't remember all what he said. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't come back in 1988. We were in Charlotte some years back. On another day that a so-called prophet said that Jesus was coming. You remember that? Matter of fact, we was in a Kenneth Copeland meeting in Charlotte. I didn't believe that stuff. If somebody tell you Jesus is coming back on a certain day, just disregard it. Or if somebody tell you he's already come and gone, forget it. If you know you saved, you know you saved, you know you're born again. And by the way, when he does come, you're not going to have anybody to tell you. All you have to do is look around. Because if I'm still on earth when he come, I'm not going to be here to preach the following Sunday. And hopefully you won't be here either. But no doubt the churches will be full of people realizing I just got left. Remember 9/11? When the Twin Towers were hit by those planes, churches started filling up again. Actually, we had some extra folks here too. Isn't it amazing how folks could come in? But as soon as things cool down, they go right back. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, be steadfast. Immovable, yeah. I mean, that's human nature. Okay, all the smoke is cleared now. I believe I go back to my old way of living. There's coming a time, 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than that, we're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here. Well, what happens after that? The tribulation. the tribulation. And there'll be a few years of peace at the beginning of the tribulation. And some folks will be deceived by that too. Peace, peace, peace. We got peace. Then all of a sudden, sudden destruction comes. Hallelujah. Y'all still here? But if you're born again, you be comforted. Don't worry. You fight the good fight of faith. You take that stand, like I told you earlier, and don't move for nobody. You stay with the Word of God. You walk with God. I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just pointing out some things. He said, watch and be sober. He said, comfort the believers. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, I want to read that to you. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very, very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, a man of God or a woman of God that's ministering the Word of God, you know they're living right. They're not living a double life, but you know that they're men and women of God. The Word of God says that we need to honor them. You hear me? Church folk love to have pastor for dinner. And I'm not talking about inviting them over for dinner. I'm talking about them over dinner. What you like and what you don't like. Listen, if you're in a place and they're not preaching the uncompromised Word of God, what should you do? You need to leave. You need to find you a place where they are preaching the uncompromised Word of God. It doesn't do you any good to gripe and complain and constantly talk about them, but yet you're right there. Either you're in the right place or you're not. There's only two things that could be happening here. Either they're really wrong and you need to move, find you a place where the Word of God's been preached, or you might want to take a look at yourself. And most of the time, it's the latter. Thank you for that one amen. I appreciate it. I'll say it again. Most of the time, it's the latter. We need to come to church today, especially today, with the mindset that I want to hear the Word of God. And I'm not looking for someone who's going to please me. I'm not looking for someone that's going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm not looking for someone that's going to tell me, you know, it's okay to shack up. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage. After all, you do know your body. We won't go there. But you understand? We don't need to make excuses for sin. That's not being condemning. That's just telling you the truth. Amen. But some folks, what they want to hear, they want you to preach what they want to hear and what pleases them. This is not the time for that. We need to hear the truth. Amen?
Amen.
All righty, let me move on. I want to leave you with just a few things. You can write these down, and then I'm going to close. We're still talking about last day's instruction. Now, one of the things I want to tell you, too, we need to warn those who are unruly. Talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Warn those that are unruly. Let me give you this list, then I'm going to let you go. Make it a point to worship God every day. Worship God every day. If you baptize with the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues every day. Worship God in tongues every day. Make the Word of God and prayer your priority. Be quick to forgive. You hear me? If you are offended, be quick to forgive. The next thing is, don't have a critical spirit. Don't have a critical spirit. Always criticizing others. Just always remember, when we're pointing the finger at someone else, there are two or three pointing back at us. Whatever you do, be a soul winner. Tell people about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a big one here, too. Watch your relationships. Guard your relationships. Be very selective in that area. Because some folks will pull you away from God. Amen?
Amen.
Stay in church. That's the next. Church is important. Somebody say amen. Yes, it is. And finally, obey God in your giving. Giving is a very important part of the Christian life. Giving. Giving your tithe, giving your offerings, given to help those that you see have a need, give. Give. Amen.
Amen.
Have you been blessed?
Amen.
So now let's move forward and do the work of the Lord. It don't matter if it's 100 years before Jesus come, which I don't think it'll be that long. But even if it was 100 years before he comes, or 1,000 for that matter, before he comes, we need to work like he's coming tomorrow. You hear me? We need to work. We need to serve him like he was coming tomorrow or coming tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you.